ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Now, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, the 5th canto, chapter 8, entitled The Character of Bharat Maharaj, text 19. Please repeat the word-to-word translations. Nimlo, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Alas, when the sun rises, all auspicious things begin. Unfortunately, they have not begun for me. The sun god is the Vedas personified, but I am bereft of all Vedic principles. That sun god is now setting, yet the poor animal who trusted in me since its mother died has not returned. Purport. In the Brahma Samhita 5.52, the sun is described as the eye of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yachakshuresha savita sakala grahanam raja samasta suramurti rashesha tejaha yasyajnaya brahmati samrita kala chakro Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. As the sun arises, one should chant the Vedic mantra beginning with the Gayatri. The sun is the symbolic representation of the eyes of the Supreme Lord. Maharaj Bharat lamented that although the sun was going to set, due to the poor animal's absence, he could not find anything auspicious. Bharat Maharaj considered himself most unfortunate, for due to the animal's absence, there was nothing auspicious for him in the presence of the sun. Hare Krishna. In today's verse, we are continuing to read the lamentation of Bharat Maharaj in the absence of the deer that he became attached to while performing his devotional service on a very elevated platform, nearing the platform of Bhava Bhakti. The pastime of Bharat Maharaj, like so many other pastimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, are hope-giving pastimes to devotees. They are pastimes full of so many different aspects which are explained, from which a devotee in his own or her own personal life can take lessons from, inspiration from, and can continue very fast on the path of devotional service. Throughout the scriptures, Krishna is taking every opportunity to give hope to his devotees. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is speaking about sense control. He is talking about how a devotee should control his senses. And controlling the senses is so difficult. Even just like a boat. What is a boat in an ocean? It itself is helpless. And if a wind comes, then the boat is completely swept away. Similarly, even if one of the senses is roaming, generally all five are roaming, but even if one of them is roaming and the mind focuses upon that, finished. The person is gone. And within those verses, Krishna says, don't worry. Neha brikamana shosti pratyavayana vidyate svalpamapyasya dharmasya. Don't worry. Even if you did a little bit devotional service, trayate mahato bhayat. Little bit devotional service, you'll be saved from lot of danger. Krishna doesn't say, lot of devotional service and you'll be saved from little danger. It's inspiring. No problem, even if you perform a little bit. And then even as the Bhagavad Gita proceeds, from time to time, Krishna is giving so many assurances. Okay, even if you are limited, you can't perfect yourself, you don't have the strength. Yoga kshemam vahamyaham. I will carry what you lack, preserve what you have. And in that way, Krishna, throughout the scriptures, through his personal instructions, and the examples of his devotees is giving hope and strength to his devotees. Continue on the path of devotional service. Success is guaranteed. In this verse, we see that the sun is compared or is explained to be the personification of the Vedic hymns. And with the rising of the sun, the rising of the Vedic hymns, all auspiciousness is bestowed to all living entities. But Bharat Maharaj is feeling that in spite of so much auspiciousness being provided to everyone by the presence of the sun, by the presence of Krishna, by the presence of the Vedic rituals, I am finding that my life is inauspicious. So it is so wonderful to see that although everything around us may be auspicious or inauspicious, when the sun of the Vedas, the sun of the Supreme Personality of Godhead rises, then auspiciousness is bestowed upon everyone, however good or difficult the situation may be. For example, we see in the life of Gajendra, what an amazing situation he was. Generally, people are very happy to quote the stories of rags to riches. This person was suffering so much and now he has become so rich. Success story of the world. But Bhagavatam explains the opposite stories. From rags to riches, back to rags and back to riches. Gajendra, being an elephant, was condemned as an animal, simply born in ignorance and living a life of ignorance. And then, although he was an elephant, he was the king of elephants. So powerful, so many hundreds of followers. In fact, his march in the forest is explained in about 20-30 verses in the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam, which is Amalam Puranam, the topmost scripture on the entire planet, 20 verses are explained simply what happens in the forest when Gajendra walks. Very amazing verses. How the animals flee in fear and how everybody makes a path for him. There is so much respect given to him. There are huge mountains around. Gold, iron, copper, silver. And then Gajendra is going into that special lake to take bath. And then suddenly, the crocodile attacks. Such an inauspicious situation. Just imagine when everything is going good, well, suddenly, inauspiciousness. The crocodile attacks and Gajendra doesn't take it quite seriously. He's okay. Just tries to move his leg. And then, after a lot of fighting, he realizes, I need help. He looks for his family members, his friends. Further inauspiciousness. On one hand, he was so much respected by all the forest dwellers and all his family members and all his followers. And here he is, right in front of them, insulted to the point of death. Generally, it is explained that if you want to chastise somebody, take him personally and chastise him and glorify him in public. It's double the benefit. Because if you glorify in public, then he feels very happy. If you chastise him in private, doesn't feel bad. But here is Gajendra in the middle of the ocean, nowhere to hide, right in front of everyone, losing the battle to die. And then one little auspicious thing he's reminded of. In some previous lifetime, he had memorized some verses from the scripture and that just came to his mind. Evam vyavasito buddhya samadhaya manoridhi. Samadhaya manoridhi. In his mind and his heart, he fixed his evam vyavasito buddhya, his intelligence. And he called out to the Supreme Lord simply by offering one lotus. And all auspicious reigned in his life. Not only was there auspicious for Gajendra because he was delivered, but there was auspiciousness even for the crocodile who was attacking him. So simply this one remembrance of Krishna in a most unfortunate situation saved Gajendra. What about the Avanti Brahmana? Auspicious situation, rich person. Generally people consider richness to be material prosperity, auspiciousness. In fact, that's why they do the Lakshmi Puja also. Auspiciousness should come, Lakshmi should come. So Avanti Brahmana, good family, good money, everything going on according to his desires. And just in due course of time, he becomes poor. He loses all his money. His family members throw him out of the house because he was miserly. And inauspiciousness darkens, makes his life entire entirely gloomy. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that in the life of this Avanti Brahmana, which was like a big tree full of flowers and fruits of material prosperity, as time passed, all the flowers, fruits and leaves, they fell off. And Avanti Brahmana became a penniless beggar, rejected by society. At that time, within his heart rose renunciation. Within his heart rose disgust from material life. And he started glorifying disgust. He started glorifying renunciation. He started glorifying material miseries. And he's saying, wow, this is so wonderful that because of this, I am becoming completely detached from the material world. And a great hope is awakening in my heart. A hope to Krishna. A hope to become Krishna conscious. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that when his entire tree of material life was destroyed, at one corner on one branch, there was one little fruit which was still ripe, because that was the fruit of bhakti. He had performed some Ajnat Sukriti in his lifetime, because of which his entire material life was destroyed, but that little bit of devotional service that he had done, that one rising sun of Krishna, that one ray saved him and reminded him of Krishna. And then he chants a beautiful song of renunciation where he glorifies suffering. Amazing, no? If somebody is glorifying suffering and in that situation getting great hope in his life, and then he continues his life in devotional service. So many examples of devotees in difficult situations. Draupadi, what an inauspicious situation. The queen of the entire planet at one time. Her husband Yudhishthir Maharaj had performed the Rajasuya Yajna, undefeated, unparalleled on the planet, who loved Brahmanas and serving the Vaishnavas, finds a great sage, Durvas Muni, coming with 60,000 disciples. What an opportunity to serve. And for a lady like Draupadi, she runs to her kitchen and finds that she has an Akshay Patra which can give unlimited food. But she has just finished eating. What a miserable situation. And in that inauspicious situation, she just thought of Krishna. And what happened to her life? Something wonderful. What an amazing Leela Krishna performed. He found one drop of grain within that Akshay Patra, and everybody was, in the entire planet, was belching. Nay, in the entire universe, was belching with their stomach becoming full. For eternity, people can glorify this pastime. Yasmin vigyatam sarvam evam. Yasmin tushte jagat tushtam. If Krishna is satisfied, everyone is satisfied. We also see Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was in a terribly inauspicious situation. We find that when he went to fight the Yakshas, he became angry. That was the first inauspicious situation. He became so angry that he lost control over his anger. And in this way, fighting, he almost defeated and killed large amount of Yakshas. The Yakshas retaliated back, and they performed such an illusion that even Dhruva Maharaj became confused. From the skies, blood, pus, mountains, elephants, spears, daggers were raining. In the directions, huge rivers and oceans were flooding as if Pralay had come. And in all directions, there was a shower of arrows in such a way that Dhruva Maharaj was practically covered. Terribly inauspicious situation. He thought he is going to lose his life. And at that time, the sages explained, please remember Narayan. And when he remembered Lord Narayan, that son of Krishna awakened in that inauspicious situation and saved him. So, whether a devotee is in an auspicious situation or a difficult inauspicious situation, simply by remembering Krishna, his or her life becomes wonderful, saved, auspicious. On the other hand, even if everything is wonderful or difficult, one material attachment can completely destroy a person's life. Maharaj Nriga. Amazing auspiciousness. I forgot the exact example Bhagavatam gives for the amount of cows that he had donated. It's an amazing example. It's like huge number of cows he would donate throughout his life. And one day, he donated 1,000 cows Now, seen from the Kali Yuga point of view, even the biggest cow protection units don't have 1,000 cows. That much you would just give in charity. And not just 1,000 cows which are useless. Milk giving cows decorated with gold, golden helm, tip, golden horns on the tips, golden tips on their horns of the cows, and golden ankles, and very well decorated cows. 1,000 of them to one Brahmana, 1,000 to another Brahmana. How much auspiciousness? One cow came back. And his entire life was miserable. Because he could not convince that first Brahmana. He said, please, forget this cow. Instead of this cow, I'll give you 1,000 other cows. The Brahmana said, no, it is my dharma. To protect my dharma, I have to have that cow. Because once charity is given, I have to accept it. So I can't return that cow back to you. So he begged the other Brahmana, please, you forget that cow. No, that cow came back and another 1,000 cows were given. And the first Brahmana's cow went to the other Brahmana. So much anxiety and problem for Nirga Maharaj. And finally what happened? He was cursed to become a lizard. But the Acharyas explain that because he had this charitable nature, while giving charity, he had one time performed the charity of giving the donation to a temple of Vishnu. He had actually built an entire temple of Vishnu. And because of that Agyan Sukriti that he had done, he was saved. So one material inauspiciousness, one little problem in his charity ruined his life. And because the Krishna conscious Agyan Sukriti was there, he had not done that charity thinking it is pure devotional service. Simply because he was charitable, he gave it to the Vaishnavas. So he was saved. In fact, Shamanandrubu explains that playing with Maya in this material world is like playing a football match. Sometimes we may be winning the first quarter, the second quarter, 10 love. And we feel, yes, Maya is now in my control. My health is good, wealth is good, healthy, wealthy, wise. Everything in this world is going wonderfully. But at the last crucial time, just before the match is about to get over, even if you're winning with Maya 20-0, just when the final whistle, when the referee plays, you'll find we have lost 21-20. Right in the last few times, Maya will hit 21 goals. So in material life, even if we are winning a lot, when we really need the shelter of Krishna, at that time, a materialistic person will be lost. However, a devotee may be lost throughout his life or her life. But when he really needs the mercy of Krishna at the most crucial moment, at that time Krishna comes to offer his mercy. In fact, we were recently in Goa. There was a land developer and he had bought a huge piece of land on which there were hundreds and hundreds and thousands of trees. And everything in his life was going wonderful. He was very rich, famous, so much money he had, so much following, he was getting so much land, and he chopped off all the trees on that land so that he could develop the land and get a lot of money. So one day, when he was traveling by his car, he parked the car at the corner of a street. And he told his driver, just give this letter to one of the ministers who was staying in the bungalow on the opposite side of the street. And suddenly it started raining heavily. And the tree which was standing next to his car, it just fell off and smashed him. Killed him on the spot. So in material life, even if one thing goes wrong, our entire material life is destroyed. Whereas we see in this purport, and with so many examples we saw, Bharat Maharaj, he's saying that when the sun of Krishna rises, when the sun of the auspiciousness of the Vedic hymns rise, everything becomes auspicious except for me. Why is everything inauspicious in the life of Bharat Maharaj? Why is he feeling like that? The reason is because of this one little material attachment that he is showing in his life to develop. It is completely destroying all his peace of mind, his bhajan and his service to Krishna. So Krishna, when he enters the life of a devotee, he actually changes the karma of that devotee. Sometimes people ask this question, when we come to Krishna consciousness, does a karma act upon us? Or does Krishna take charge of our life? Or are we in charge of our life? Or is Maya in charge of my life? What's happening to me? I'm not sure. But the Shastras unequivocally guarantee that it is a fact that Krishna personally takes charge of his devotees the day devotee decides to surrender unto him. Now Krishna may allow karma to take charge of the devotee, but he's personally doing that. And he changes the karma according to how he wants the devotee to come back to him as fast as possible. We see in the life of Ajamila, according to his own karma, Ajamila was supposed to die at the age of 80 with 10 children. And therefore the Yamdutas came. Three Yamdutas came to catch him and they had actually bound him. They were about to pull him out. We see that picture in the book Second Chance or the sixth canto. They actually practically dragged him out. He was on the verge of death. Near death experience. He was actually experiencing death. Very close. And at that time, in great fear, he called out his son, Narayan, Narayan. And the Vishnu Dutas came. And then they gave transcendental knowledge. They released Ajamila. And he got to live 12 more years. What were those 12 more years? They were not years awarded to him because of his karma or his pious activity. Those 12 years were pure mercy given by the Vishnu Dutas because he chanted the holy name of Narayan. Because according to his karma, he was supposed to die. The Yamdutas had already come. But they entered into his life. Even such a sinful person. Because previously he had performed devotional service. So Krishna enters into the life of a devotee and alters the karma of that devotee. To give him an opportunity to perform devotional service. Sometimes Krishna, he works in different ways to make us frustrated. Like Ajamila was so ecstatic. In fact, he was so happy that he got transcendental knowledge. He saw the beautiful form of the Vishnu Dutas. And remembering that form, he performed a devotional service for 12 years. And he saw the same Vishnu Dutas who came to take him back. Also in the life of Parikshit Maharaj, he was condemned to die by the shooting of Ashwatthama's Brahmastra. But because his mother cried out to Krishna, therefore Krishna personally came and restructured his body. The Bhagavatam explains that his body was burned to ashes. Krishna personally restructured his body and offered that body to him and offered him his beautiful darshan within the womb of his mother. Sometimes Krishna may work differently to create something inauspicious or difficult or mundanely seemingly troublesome in the life of a devotee. But still, it is Krishna who has created that karma, that situation, to drag that devotee back to Krishna. We see in the life of Maharaj Chitraketu, very wonderful life, got the association of Angira Muni, by his mercy got the association of Narad Muni, got transcendental knowledge, got the darshan of Lord Sankarshan in his lifetime. Next lifetime, he became a Vidyadhar, isn't it? Vidyadhar he became? Maharaj Chitraketu, a Gandharva or a Vidyadhar. And he was traveling in an airplane along with many other women of the heavenly planets. But it is explained in the purports in those verses that Maharaj Chitraketu was not attracted to any of those women. Nor were the women attracted to him. They were all transcendentally singing the glories of the Supreme Lord. Because the glories of the Supreme Lord are so attractive that Maharaj Chitraketu in his next life as a demigod was not being attracted to the bodily features of women. Not only that, when he was passing in the airplane, he saw something very interesting. Parvati Devi is sitting on the lap of Lord Shiva. Now what is so wonderful in that? She is his wife, she can sit on his lap. But the wonderful thing is that Lord Shiva is giving a discourse on the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that too speaking on the subject matter of renunciation. And that too to the greatest renunciates. And that too in a place like the Himalayas. So this created astonishment and wonder in the mind of Maharaj Chitraketu. And so he smiled in astonishment and wonder. Only Lord Shiva can do this. Nobody else can do this. So in fact, it was a kind of glorification that he was doing, but Mother Parvati took it as an offense and she cursed him. You become demon. You become Vritrasur in your next life. So in his next life, when he became a demon, Vritrasur, what actually happened was that he was actually dragged to Krishna faster. In fact, in the fight of Vritrasur with Indra, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains who won and who lost. Indra won because he killed Vritrasur, and Vritrasur lost because his head was cut off. That is true from the mundane point of view. But the devotee, they explain that the real victorious person was Vritrasur. Why? Because he was taken back to Godhead. And Indra, he got a material kingdom to enjoy in this material world and suffer for some more time. So, Krishna changes the karma of a devotee. Sometimes auspiciousness reigns in his life. Like Ajamila got 12 more years to practice in this very lifetime. He went back to Godhead. Sometimes troublesome situations come in his life. Chitraketu Maharaj was cursed to become a demon. Such a horrible body he got. But still, it was Krishna. Personally, he was dragging him back to his lotus feet as fast as possible. So, when we were in Mayapur, Badri Narayan Prabhu was giving a beautiful example to show that sometimes in devotees' lives, difficulties may come. Inauspicious things may come. But it is Krishna's arrangement to help the devotee come back to him. He was explaining that in mathematics, the shortest distance between two points is considered to be a straight line. However, this is true only in two dimensions. In three dimensions, if there is a mountain between those two points, then a straight line will have to go up the mountain and down the mountain and then to that point. So that straight line, which was previously the shortest distance, will now become a huge distance. So now if there is a mountain in between, the shortest distance between those two points is to go around the mountain or a curved line. Although previously seen, a curved line would be seen as a long distance. What is this? Why go this long way? The shortest way is straight. But if there is a mountain in between, then the curved line is the shortest distance. Similarly, he was explaining that from our tiny brains and our tiny points of view, we feel that the best way to become Krishna conscious is this shortest way. If I have the best of health, the best of family, the best of association, the best of money, the best of situations, I'll become Krishna conscious very fast. But Krishna knows all the mountains which are going to come in our way. He can see those mountains. Because he knows past, he knows present, and he knows future. So he takes a detour in our life. And he gives us certain curves, certain situations where we wonder, are it seems that this is the best way to become Krishna conscious, and I'm trying also, but what is this? Krishna is dragging me this way, and life situations are dragging me that way, and I'm going in all types of directions, and what's happening to me? This is because we are seeing our life from our tiny points of view, from our tiny dimensions. But if we see from Krishna's point of view, what he is doing is, he's actually dragging us closer and closer to him. So when we know this, we become very happy, wonderful. Whatever is happening in my life, Krishna is actually helping me come closer to him. He is reciprocating with my desire to come closer to his lotus feet. But, there is a big but. And what is that but? The but is that we know whatever Krishna does is for our good. We have heard so many stories from the scripture. Like the king's finger got cut. The minister said, very good. All that happens is for your good. The king said, what nonsense? Why like that? He said, no, well, it's for your benefit. Next day, the king and the new minister went for hunting because the previous minister was put in jail for blaspheming the king by telling that his finger got cut was very good. So next day, the minister and the king were caught by the hunters in the jungle, and they were about to be put to death. And they found that this king is not a full person. We cannot offer him for sacrifice. So the king was relieved. Ah, very good. Thank God I don't have a finger. It's very good that I don't have a finger. The king is thinking, somebody told me that just a few days back. Somebody told me that. And then he realized, hey, my minister, he told me, very good, I don't have a finger. He went back to the minister who was in the jail. He said, thank you, minister, very good advice. Tell me one thing, how is it good for you? Minister said, if I was not in the jail, then I would be with you. I would have gone to the jungle and I would have been sacrificed. It's good for me also. So whenever we get out of the dangers, we realize, wow, thank God, Krishna, you gave me so much trouble. In fact, every devotee who comes to Krishna consciousness has an exciting story to tell of all the troubles that Krishna put him through to bring him to Krishna consciousness. Each and every devotee has an experience that unless Krishna would have put him through that dark night of the soul, as they call it in the Christian religion, through that really difficult situation, we would not have taken that leap of faith to surrender. Okay, Krishna, I am going to start chanting my first round. I am going to become your devotee. Please accept me. So we all have these experiences of pains and difficulties in material world which have pushed us to Krishna consciousness. Then why are we surprised if Krishna is giving us pains and difficulties to push us further in Krishna consciousness? When the pains and difficulties are finished, then we thank Krishna. It was for my good. But the real problem is, when we are going through that grind, when we are going through that situation, what to do? When the king's finger got cut, it was so difficult for him to accept the fact, thank you, Krishna. This is for my good. I can't see what good is there in it. He couldn't see that the hunters are going to come tomorrow. He could not see that mountain on his way. He could not see that he is going to be sacrificed the next day. But in that particular situation, it's very difficult to see the silver lining in the dark cloud. Very difficult. That is why the Bhagavatam says, Tattenu kampam sushamikshamano bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam. In that difficult situation, if you can thank Krishna, fold your hands. Krishna, thank you for cutting off my finger. Thank you for giving me this difficulty. In that situation, see, after the situation is over, it is very easy to say, because we can see the fruits that Krishna gave us after taking us through our difficult situation. But in that situation, if a difficulty can, with his heart, Hrid, Vak, Vapurbir, with his body and his mouth, thank Krishna, then liberation is his rightful claim. Now the big question comes, how to thank Krishna in that difficult situation? What to do? Everything said and done, it's theoretically very easy to say it. But actually, when the situation comes, we can rely back upon the wonderful experiences we have had in Krishna consciousness. Those little drops of nectar that we have collected on our path of Krishna consciousness, which have given us the strength, the joy to practice devotional service, that is the treasure from where we can withdraw in times of difficulty. Because there will be like a desert situation when our heart will be dry, things will be difficult, going ahead in Krishna consciousness is so difficult. So that time when these drops of nectar, they will quench our thirst and give us the strength to go ahead in our Krishna consciousness. Every devotee has experienced some nectar. No doubt about it. Otherwise the devotee cannot survive. Sometimes, in fact this question was asked to one sannyasi, that what is this, we are practicing Krishna consciousness for so long and nothing is happening. Just nothing is happening in our lives. We are not going ahead. He said, it is impossible that nothing is happening. We have given up meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex. We are jumping and dancing in kirtan. There is some nectar that you have experienced on your path of devotional service. Otherwise, you wouldn't be sitting here. What you are actually going through here, he explained, is because we experience that nectar, every day we are watching and hoping, this Bhagavatam class will give me nectar. Okay, let me sit through it. This kirtan will give me that same nectar. Let me go through it. This darshan will shower that nectar, splash me with the nectar which I had experienced once upon a time, which Krishna gave me free. Okay, take it. This is first installment. So we are all still searching for that nectar, and therefore we are continuing in the process of devotional service to purify our hearts, however difficult it may be. So one thing we can do is in difficult times is to bank upon that nectar which we have collected on our path of devotional service. Actually, the first thing that Bhakti Vikas Maharaj explains in the Brahmacharya and Krishna Consciousness book is to practice determination. With great determination, one must go ahead in those difficult times. And then, he gives so many examples of devotees who had that determination. And then he finally asks the question, where to get the determination? How to get determination? You get determination by performing austerities. When one performs tapasya, then one gets determination. But the problem is where to get the determination to perform the tapasya. Then he explains by remembering that collected drops of nectar which we have collected on the path of devotional service. So first, in difficult times, show determination. To get the determination, remember the collected drops of nectar. If those drops of nectar are not enough to pass the thirst that we are having while going through the difficult times, then run to the association of devotees. This is the final instruction Ramanujacharya gave when he departed from this world. He gave so many instructions to advance in Krishna consciousness. And he said, if you can't do any of this, just go to a group of devotees, sit in their association and hear Krishna Katha and you will be delivered. That association of devotees will deliver us. And finally, one should gather great hope from Krishna's instructions and the pastimes of the devotees given in the scripture. So in those difficult times, one should show determination, collect the nectar, remember the nectar, associate with the devotees because they will inspire us, and hear Krishna's hope-giving instructions in the scripture. And that will carry us through our tough times in Krishna consciousness while we are getting purified in this material world. Therefore, one devotee prays. In fact, we pray like this every day when we perform service to the deities. We know that on our own we are helpless. Every day we are committing so many offenses. Even while performing devotional service, we are committing so many offenses. What can we do? How can we get purified? Therefore, a devotee simply folds his or her hands and goes to Radha Gopinath and prays. Pratigya tava Govinda name bhakta pranashyati iti samsmritya samsmritya pranan sandhyam myamaham. My Lord, you have taken a vow to deliver me. Pratigya iti Govinda name bhakta pranashyati. My devotee will not perish. Because you have taken the vow, there is some hope for me. Therefore, I am able to protect my life. Iti samsmritya samsmritya. Simply remembering this again and again, that my Lord has decided, however rebellious I am, however stubborn I am, how many ever offenses I may be committing, He has taken the responsibility. That somehow or the other I'll put such situations in His life to drag Him to me. Lord, simply remembering this. Iti samsmritya samsmritya. Pranan sandharayam. I am holding on my life. Just help me somehow. Drag me to you. I think that's the only way a sincere devotee feels he will go back to Godhead. Unless this process, the association of devotees, drag us to Krishna. And even while they're dragging, we are complaining, you know, so difficult, troublesome, or having tough times, difficult times. Within those difficult times, if we can thank Krishna, then our success is guaranteed. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna is giving His promise, He does not give His promise Himself. It is explained that the Bhagavad Gita is divided in three parts. The first part is Karma Yoga, where one achieves perfection in Karma Yoga, purifies the heart, and ultimately is able to meditate upon Krishna. The last part is Jnana Yoga, which will help one to remember what are the difficulties one can experience in this world, and also give knowledge to overcome those difficulties. The three modes of material nature, divisions of faith. But the middle six chapters are bhakti, beautifully kept together within the sandwich of the first and the last six chapters. And within the middle six chapters comes the most confidential knowledge, the ninth chapter. And in the ninth chapter, Krishna is giving this confidential knowledge to Arjuna. Why? Because Arjuna is a non-envious confidential devotee. And in that knowledge, Krishna explains His own personal supremacy, that I am the Supreme Lord of all that be, everything is in me, but I am not in everything. In fact, There are three types of people who worship me. The Duratmas, Mogasha, Mogakarmano, Mogagyana, Vichetasaha, they are lost. Then there are the Mahatmas, my devotees, Devim Prakriti Mashrita. They are surrendered to me, they are happy. And then there are the demigod worshippers. And then Krishna explains, the demigod worshippers take so much trouble to rise up to the heavens. And what do they get in return? Kshine Punya Martya Lokam Vishanti. They fall down into this material world. And my devotees? Oh, my devotees, they simply offer me Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam, delivered. So when I ask this question, what is this? You know, demigod worshippers take so much trouble and in the end they get repeated birth and death. And Krishna, your devotees, they simply offer you one flower, one fruit, little water, and they get eternal life. Krishna says, what to speak of this much partiality? I tell you that even if my devotee is most abominable and even if he falls through the most unfortunate activities, I will still deliver him. Api chet suduracharo bhajate maam ananya bhak sadhu reva samantavya. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives beautiful purport to this verse. He says, what is this Krishna? How can one remain a Sudurachar, a fallen person, and can be seen as saintly? How is it possible? In the 7th chapter you say that those who are sinful, they can't surrender unto you. Namam Duskritino Muda, Prapadyante Naradama. The fallen people can't surrender unto you. And here he is Sudurachar. And how is he surrendering unto you? How can you accept him as a sadhu? So Krishna in reply says, not only should he be considered as a sadhu, but he should be actually accepted as such. And this is my injunction. It's my order. That's the final word. Because I have ordered it. So someone may say, well, Krishna, fine, you're so partial. Okay, he has committed some sinful activity. So as long as he's worshipping you, as long as he's loving you, for that much part he's a sadhu. But when he's usurping others' wives, usurping others' property, then he cannot be considered saintly. Krishna said, no, sadhur eva, only sadhu, nothing else. Because he is rightly situated in his determination. In fact, the 11th canto explains that even if one closes one's eyes, dhavan nimilya netrena, na skhaletna patetiha, and runs on the path of devotional service, one will not fall or even slightly slip. What does it actually mean is that surrendering to Krishna is such a wonderful qualification that even if a devotee has some discrepancies or deficiencies, still one will not fall or slip on the path of devotional service because Krishna will personally protect that devotee. And then Krishna says, Kshipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shantim nigachati. He gives praman why that devotee is protected. Because he says, not that he will soon become a dharmatma. He says he becomes a dharmatma. He attains lasting peace. He's talking of the present tense, right now. And then paraphrasing a devotee, Krishna says, a devotee thinks, alas, alas, there is no person more fallen than me. I have defiled the reputation of the Vaishnavas. Damn me. And because a devotee is in this remorse and remembers Krishna, Krishna says he immediately becomes religious. Now that much is not enough. I protect that devotee. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shantim nigachati kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. It's my vow that that devotee will not fall. So Arjuna is thinking, Krishna, who will believe this? Who will accept? How can I convince the logicians that if a fallen person is your devotee, you will save him? Krishna says, Arjuna, take mridangam, take kartals, and make a loud sound, and again and again and again repeat this instruction of mine. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Whatever happens, my devotee shall never perish. He will never fall, even if he goes through the worst of difficulties. And then one may ask a question, why is Krishna telling Arjuna to say? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is explaining what is going on in Krishna's mind. He's saying, Krishna at that time, standing on the chariot while speaking Bhagavad Gita, is thinking that very soon I am going to break my own promise. I am giving my promise. In the next verse, Krishna promises, Arjuna, because you are very dear to me, therefore I will definitely take you back to Godhead. He says in the next verse, but for my devotees, even if they are fallen, I may break my promise, but I cannot tolerate my devotee's promise being broken. Therefore, you promise that my devotees will never perish. Iti samsmritya samsmritya pranan sandaryamaham. Simply remembering this Krishna factor in one's life, whatever auspiciousness comes, whatever inauspiciousness comes, one will be saved. So Bharat Maharaj right now is seeing that in his life, although the auspiciousness of the sun is there, the Vedic, alas, when the sun rises, all auspicious things begin. Unfortunately, they have not begun for me. He is in this situation. He is not able to thank Krishna for the difficulties he is going through. But Krishna has not given up upon him. Krishna, through this beautiful pastime, will now unfold how in his next lifetime he will become a deer. And Krishna will give him the remembrance. Not only the remembrance, Krishna will give him the association of devotees. And then Bharat Maharaj, remembering the wonderful mercy of Krishna, will achieve the perfection of his life in his body of Jada Bharat. Similarly, taking inspiration and great hope from the life of Bharat Maharaj, we can continue on our devotional service. Rest assured, all success is guaranteed as long as one remains surrendered unto Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. It's quite late now, we'll stop here. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shila Prabhupada ki jai.